got postponed. So lucky for me, I hadn't bought tickets yet. And even if I did, they probably would have been transferred. But to be honest, I even was saying this earlier, if we want to justify why I always do things last minute, this is probably one of the reasons is because I don't have to then worry about like rearranging my whole schedule and things like that, because there's nothing to rearrange, right? But I was planning on going to the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight because one of my good friends, his birthday is around that time, and I know he wanted to go to the fight. So he was constantly asking me, when are you gonna get the tickets? When are you gonna get the tickets? And honestly, the tickets were fucking wild. Like, went to UFC 300. The seats that we had were probably worth like $3,000. We got them for $1,500, so we got them half off because I know a friend that knows a friend. And then this Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, I didn't reach out to them about it, this friend that knows a friend, but the tickets were even worse. Like, the nosebleeds were like $3,000, like not even for like a good midsection. So it was just a matter of time. I was just going to get them last minute and say, fuck it. But now it's going to get postponed and we're going to see what happens. But yeah, so that's what's going on in the world today. I guess supposedly Mike Tyson was on a flight and he had some type of health issue, and then after he got off the flight, he ended up going to see his doctor, and they had recommended that he do no training or light training for the next 6 weeks, so they had to postpone it. But they should be coming out with another date on June 7th with a new fight date, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm not necessarily mad at it, you know what I mean? I have a lot of shit going on right now. I literally just got back from a 3-week road trip. I remember I had settled into my place like end of March, and then all of April was more so just like enjoying my new place where I was living by myself, because I had a roommate prior. Now I'm living by myself and just moving everything in, getting accustomed to my schedule again, just going to Vegas that time, having different shifts in my life in regards to just like what I want, what am I doing, who am I, like just like really inner deep thoughts that I think about, but I wasn't actually taking serious. Like, I remember on the last solo podcast that we did, I had talked about how I was so in my feelings after this Vegas trip in mid-April that I had to sit down and write a reflection, because I haven't in a while. And I had wrote down all the things that I needed to do better, and I thought it was going to be a list of like 50 things, but it really only ended up being 3. So that kind of shifted things in perspective, but at the same time, that can't eliminate the feeling. That feeling is there, and I needed to figure out what I had to do to prevent it from continuing to happen. So I just told myself, you know, I can't keep playing about me. I can't keep taking things day by day and just hoping that everything around me becomes something. And that it's kind of a double-edged sword, because when you do take things day by day, when you stick to your consistent schedule, when you are constantly pursuing your goals, eventually you're going to look around and everything that you've ever wanted is going to be right there. So it's not necessarily like, oh, you know, I don't want to take things day by day anymore. That's not the case. I just know that there were certain habits and certain things that I needed to continue to work on that I was not taking serious. Like, I was allowing my discipline to lack in certain areas. Like, for example, going out. And when I was dancing, my form of going out was going to work, right? Like, I would be partying and having fun and drinking and listening to great music and dancing every night. And now my form of like, and somehow embodying that still, is to go out in the city that I live and drink and party and hang out with my friends. And although I don't really do it on weekdays, doing it every weekend, it just continues to be a losing battle. Like, just hungoverness, drunkenness, making bad decisions. I remember one of my good friends, I think it was Alano, he works out of this building, but he had said nothing good happens after midnight is what he either heard someone say that or he said that, but basically like nothing good happens after midnight, especially when drinks are involved. And I definitely agree with that. I think that one of the things that I did have to really, really do was to eliminate or minimize, like really minimize drinking, because my body can't take it like it used to. It can't allow itself to function consistently the next day. Like, I remember I would go out on like a Friday or a Saturday and I'm like, oh, I have all Sunday to recover. But then Monday comes around and I'm all over the place because I hadn't prepared on Sunday, which I should have. and I get less done. Like, there's certain things that take up a lot of my time in my business that I push off to the weekend, because the weekend allows me more time where I don't have as many calls and meetings to get things done. And it's like, if I'm throwing that off, like putting that off to go and hang out with my friends and do social activities and drink, I'm saying yes to the things that I can do any day and saying no to the things that I need to do today. So that is probably one of the things that I had to make the biggest shift in. And I remember after Vegas, it was just one of those things where I was like, I'm not drinking. I'm not doing this whole fucking rah-rah. I'm not going to keep going out and doing things. So I remember I had made the decision, like, I'm not going to drink. I'm going to put myself first. I'm going to put my goals first. I'm going to make sure, like, again, I can't afford to be hungover. I can't afford to be going out every weekend and just saying no to the things that are important and matter to me. So I remember, obviously I'm still getting invited to stuff. I'm still getting people like telling me to come out and do things. I remember there was one weekend where I did have prior obligations. I had already told these people yes. This was weeks prior before I made the decision to stop drinking. I was like, okay, I'm still going to go because I told them I would. Although I could have canceled, but I was like, let me see how I handle this. Like, let's see if I have fun, like, you know, because I'm not going to be drinking, because drinking enhances the experience, right? Like, drinking, being social, and all those things, it all takes a toll, it plays a part. So I actually went out like 3 days in a row. So, and it wasn't like to the point where it was like excessive. It was more like I had done something every day. So for Friday, I went to one of my favorite like places to watch a game. And I watched the Kings game with my friend. Didn't drink. I just ate their wings, which their wings were so fucking good. But didn't drink anything. Ended up going home early. Great. Then the next day, I had made that obligation to go out with my friend. I went out, didn't drink. Great. I went home early. Now I still had fun at all of these places, but it was one of those things where I was like, what am I doing, bro? Like, let me go home. You know, like, it's more one of those things where you just pop out. Like, if you say you're going to do something, pop out, put in your schedule, and then, you know, go home and, you know, leave early, whatever it is. And that way you're not, you know, hungover. You obviously might be getting home a little late, but it's not nearly as late as it would have been if you would have been drinking or, you know, going out and partying. And I even talked about this in the last podcast, is just the season of no, like saying no to more things, which is what I have been doing. And honestly, not drinking has been amazing. And it's not just amazing in the fact that I'm getting more done and I'm more productive, but it's amazing in the fact that I can somehow hone in on things to be excited about even though I'm not drinking. So if I do decide, okay, I'm gonna go out with friends or I'm gonna go do something, I'm gonna look forward to trying like a really cool mocktail or something like that. Like, just, and obviously we can all say that placebo, you know, the effect of like thinking that you might have a little bit of a buzz, like, can play an effect. But to be honest, like, if I know I'm not drinking, I know I'm not drinking. But there's still reasons to get excited. Like, number one, you get to be around the people that you love, that you appreciate. You get to drink a fucking mocktail, and then you don't have to feel bad about it the next day, you know. Like, I remember I would drink and then the next day I would just feel like shit. So I don't know. Have you guys ever felt like that, where you literally will go out and you'll rage and then the next morning you'll be super hungover, and then as the hungoverness starts to wear out, you just start getting in your head and like in your feelings and in this really like sad, depressive mode? And imagine doing that every weekend. Imagine going through that cycle every weekend for a year, every other weekend for a year. Like, how much that takes an actual toll and how hard it is to then kind of kick that habit because you're so used to doing it. And it's like a really toxic cycle. It's like a really toxic relationship, right? And how hard it is to leave those things sometimes. And I remember I had made goals, like even early 2023, over a year ago. I'd said, okay, I'm not gonna drink more than 3 drinks whenever I go out. That fucking lasted like 2 months. And I hate being the person that doesn't stick to what they say they're gonna do. But sometimes when you're trying to reach a goal, right, like this goal of just drinking less, that's the goal, drinking less, maybe not completely eliminating it, especially if you don't feel as if you have a problem or if you know that you can balance, or you have enough discipline to be able to say no, which is what I feel like I do have. I don't think I have a problem. I know I don't have a problem, but I also don't want to be that person. And this is nothing against people that don't drink at all, because I know multiple people that don't drink at all and they're fucking amazing people. But for me, I don't want to be that person that's like, I don't drink. Not that that's a bad thing, but I'm fine with drinking. Like, I'm okay with drinking. Let's have a drink together. Let's go get a drink. Let's go out. Let's have a little cocktail. That's fine. Let's have a glass of wine. Fine. But I also had made the goal to to minimize the drinking, right? So it's like you have to try different things sometimes in order to reach that goal. So for example, if your goal is to, I don't know, buy your parents a house, or if your goal is to pay off all of your debt, whatever the case may be, there's going to be different routes to get to that goal. There's going to be a million different ways, different paths to get to that one destination. And you're going to try different things until you ultimately reach that. And for me, the three limit thing didn't work. Like, or it's just something that I didn't stick with, right? Obviously, I can try it again, but I didn't really enjoy it. Like, three drinks, like, I'll just fucking put like 20 shots in one drink. Like, you know, there's loopholes to all this shit. Or, you know, obviously, like I said, if you want to pay off all your debt, like, there's different ways to go about that. There's different saving methods. There's different things that work for different people. Not everyone is the same. Everyone is different. Everyone is unique. Everyone has different learning styles and ways that they're able to actually accomplish things. So for me, I think the drinking thing was just like, enough is enough. Like, just not, just being, I just knew I wasn't content with where I was at. And I needed to make a change. And that was one of the things that I literally never wanted to do, because I always felt like, oh, I can handle everything. Like, I can handle this. It's no problem. I can go out and have fun, and then I can still do what I need to do, which you absolutely can. But there's limits. And if you really want to reach your goals faster, then I would definitely recommend, you know, putting stops and putting boundaries in place that are going to help. So that's that. And it's funny because obviously it's only been like 2 months, not even like a month and a half, and I haven't been drinking. Like, I remember I had I was just on like this fucking 3-week road trip that I had talked about, and one of the places that I had stopped was Tampa, Florida, and my mom lives in Orlando, so I was in Tampa just there, and we were all we were like hanging out and just trying out a different city and enjoying it. And I knew somebody out there that was someone that I work with in my business. They're just kind of like a referral generator, or they help me conduct a lot of business. So we finally met up for the first time, and he kind of showed me around Tampa. And after that, we got some food and I had one drink. Things like that. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm not going to go out and fucking rage on a Wednesday. I know I have to drive in the morning. Like, I'm obviously, no, I'm not going to go hard. But old Rachel might have been like, fuck, what are we doing? Like, what's the move, you know? But to me, I'm like, let's just like talk, let's get to know each other, let's talk about how we can work together more, things like that. The only time that I feel like in the last 45 days that I've actually drank heavily was when I was in Houston on my way back from my Florida trip, and I saw a friend that also is from Sacramento, or, you know, was living in Sac, and now they're in Houston just to like for work or something. And we had went out and had like a few different shots, and that was probably the first time I felt tipsy. But it was on a Friday. I had a long drive the next day, but I knew I didn't really have any calls or work to handle. I knew I still had to go on the drive. I ended up leaving early. Just shit like that. And even then, I was like, damn, I'm kind of like feeling it the next day. But I'm like, thank God I'm not doing this every fucking weekend. You know what I mean? So there's times and places for everything, right? And I just feel like sometimes, especially when I'm home here in Sacramento, that I limit it and really put boundaries on it. When I'm out of town, it's a little different. Obviously don't want to go too crazy because there's still obligations and things that need to be taken care of. But, you know, what's that saying? Like, don't shit where you eat, don't eat where you shit type of thing. I don't want to go too hard where I live. But that's one of the things that I've really honed in on. And I always tell people this, and I don't know how, if there's anyone out there that feels as if like they're not religious. If you guys feel like you're not religious, like, tell me, are you atheist? Are you just like, you believe in the universe and a higher power, like what it is that you believe? But for me, I grew up more Christian based, and my dad would make us pray like every night. He always told me to go to church, although he would never go himself. But I did grow up like going to church with friends and believing in God and all these things. And even up until like community college, I was still going to church. Like, I was going to church by myself, with friends, with my ex, like, you know, I was doing all these things. I don't think my dad had went to church, like, at all. My dad is the type to just sit at home, read the Bible, listen to some sermons, is that what it is? Sermon, on the TV and things like that. But he never really got up and, like, went to church. I think he went, like, one time in the last 10 years. Anyways, but that just kind of shows you, like, I felt like I believed, but until I actually had my own thinking style, and, you know, I became an adult and I grew up and matured a bit, I don't know necessarily, like, what what religion I resonate with. I don't think I'm very religious because I don't talk about like a god or anything like that. Now, obviously that could change. People change, things change. But for me, I do believe in like the universe working in my favor. Like I do believe in a higher power in that sense. And my mom, she grew up Christian based as well, but as she got older, she was the same kind of way where she just believed in a higher power, but she didn't agree with everything that was like in the Bible and the Christians and things like that. So she would go to a church where it wasn't atheist, it was more like they accept all. Literally, one of the pastors was a lesbian. Like, it was very interesting. So my mom and me would go to that church when I was in like high school. But now my mom has honed in a lot more to Christianity, the Bible, God, like just constantly talking to me about like all the blessings that she's received. Like she'll pray for me, she'll read me verses. Like I'm not against it at all. Like I'm totally open to like everything and the love that she's trying to share with me through the Bible. And the more that she does, and the more that friends, I actually had a good friend when I was visiting Arizona. I was driving there on my way back from Texas, and he's like, hey, you get in tomorrow, let's go to church, I want to take you to my church. And I'm like, bro, I'm like, you know, I don't go to church, like, you know, I'm not like religious. He's like, I know, I just think that you'd get a lot of value, they talk about a lot of like real life things. I'm like, you know what, okay, that's fine, I'll go. Like, I'm open, I'm not against it, you know, and I'm super open-minded. And I was actually really excited, but I got so damn tired on that drive, I had to stop, so I didn't make it in the morning. I was like, bro, I'm not gonna make it, but I was excited. But I remember I obviously was like really sticking to my routine. Like I was just, business was great. Things were just evolving. I was constantly just pushing forward every day, and I was feeling so good. Like, and I still feel amazing. But I remember I was like, if there's a God out there, like if God is listening, I'm ready for my blessings. I said, like, I'm ready to receive my blessings. Like I wasn't before, but I'm ready now. And if that counts as a prayer, then so be it. But that is definitely what I was going through my head when I was like driving. I was like, yeah, I'm ready to receive my blessings, if that's what we're supposed to, like, if that's what we say, right? So that is a little bit on like the religious side. Like, again, I don't know what you guys believe. I don't know if anyone has gone from like completely against religion to now like very much so in touch with God and like their beliefs and things like that. But to me, it's really hard to sometimes believe in things you don't see. But again, people do it all the time, right? Like people in, it doesn't even have to be religion based, but just the hot topics like religion, politics, things like that. If I don't know enough about it, if I don't feel confident in like what I've learned or like my knowledge in that subject, I'm just going to say something along the lines of like, well, I don't really know. Like, oh, what political party you're going for? You know, I don't really know. Like, there's different religions, there's different political parties. I agree and disagree with certain things probably in every single realm. I think eventually I'll probably push more towards like a certain party, or I'll push more towards a certain religion, and that's the one that I'll stick to. But I don't like to be put into a box, because, and it's funny because everyone is like, Rachel, why don't you post more about your business on your social media? Rachel, why don't you post more about like what you do and like really become that advisor and that guru in your space? And this is now transitioning to business. Well, because I don't want to be put into a box. I've never wanted to be known as like the Airbnb person. I've never wanted to be known as like a podcast. Like, I just want to be me, and I want to do the things that I love. And that's why I feel like there's a time and place for everything. And there's different, you know, that's why we have different social media accounts, right? Because I don't want everything in one place. And I think that that's just one thing that I realized about me, is I don't want to be that person that is pushed into a box, whether it be religion, politics, business, whatever it may be. So on my 3-week trip, I had decided I'm going to drive. I told my mom, I haven't seen my mom in 6 months. So I was like, I told my mom I was going to see her probably in like April or May. So I decided, I'm like, oh, I need to fucking go see her. I didn't go see her in April. So I'm like, May is the time I need to go see her. So first week of May, I was in SAC. And then the second week I had decided, I'm going to go to Florida and I'm going to drive. Because I wanted to, number one, I was talking about this earlier. You guys have to tell me, and everyone says I'm fucking insane, but I know there's people out there that are just like me, that like to drive, that have no problem driving, that will drive cross country, doesn't fucking matter. So I drove from California to Arizona, Arizona to Texas, Texas to Florida, and then back. And overall, it was probably like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And I remember people were like, why are you doing that? You're fucking insane. Like, that costs way more than if you were to fly and like book your trip, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't really, it's not even about like the comparing the cost, because I didn't compare the cost. I know how much on average flights are. I know that I'm going to have to get an Airbnb regardless. I know that I'm going to have to either put my dog in a doggy daycare if I don't take him with me, or I'm going to have to pay for hella gas if I do take him with me. But for me, what I enjoy is, I enjoy, number one, comfortability. So I enjoy having my own car with me, and I enjoy having my dog with me, and I enjoy being able to pack whatever the fuck I want to pack, okay? But it was cool because I knew I was going to go see my friends in Arizona. I knew I was going to see my friends in Texas. And then I was going to probably see some friends in Florida. So I was like, I can make a fun trip out of this. I can stay in each place for a couple days and then move on to the next place, right? So first place I had driven to was Arizona. Arizona was very special because, number one, I did stay in one of my own units. Like, I have 5 Airbnbs out there, so I stayed in one of the 5. And that was great. Like, I haven't stayed in one of those probably in over a year. So it was good to like go back and like see how it's doing and like how it's looking and things like that. Honestly, they look great. Like, I was a little nervous because I'm like, damn, it's been 2 years, like wear and tear, things like that. But our cleaning team, maintenance, does a phenomenal job. Like, I'm actually super happy with that trip. And overall, it was just, I treated it as if I was really a guest and just experiencing it. And like, what could we have done better? Like, what could we have added and things like that? But that wasn't exactly why Arizona was special. And I don't know if this person's ever going to see this. I don't know who's listening to this. I don't fucking know. But the most recent person that I ever, like, that I spoke to, that I had like a situationship, not even a situationship, like, just, I was talking to this person heavily. They now live in Arizona and I haven't seen them. I haven't really had a real conversation with them. I haven't, like, none of that since like 6-7 months ago. So it's been like 6-7 months since we stopped talking. And there's been like a communication here and there, like birthdays, happy birthday. I think like happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, shit like that, right? Like, and there's a couple times I got drunk and I called them and I was like, they didn't even answer. It's like in the middle of the night. There's like multiple times I had called them, right? And I'm like, why am I calling them, right? I keep saying right. I'm sorry, Izzy, you can cut it out. I kept calling them, and I have this habit of doing that when I'm drunk. Does anybody else drunk call? I know I'm not the only one. Come on, it's fucking common, guys. Like, let's be real. It's, now, what you do have to be worried about is you're calling this person while you're sober. If you're sober and you're calling this person consistently, that is a problem. You probably still have some feelings. You probably still, like, but when you're drunk, the discipline just goes out the fucking window. I don't know what it is. Like, it's just crazy. So I'd call them a couple times when I was drunk, and let me just be very clear here. Like, they were not the only person that I called. So that made me feel a little bit better, to where I'm like, thank God they're not the only person that I'm thinking about, which makes me, it helps me move on, to be honest. Like, it helps me with just moving on and for not forgetting, but just remembering that they're not the only person that I care about. Like, I'll call my ex, like, he's like my best friend though, and I'll call him, be like, what's up, pussy, you know? Or like a guy that I think is cute that gives me the feeling that it's fine if I call him, it's whatever, right? So I'll call like guys that I have crushes on, whatever. Anyway, that's how I shoot my shot. I'll just be drunk and then I'll call him in like 2 a.m. be like, hey. Anyways, so I didn't know if he was going to contact me when I went out there, because obviously I'd posted that I was in Arizona and I hadn't been in the same city with him in like 6-7 months, right? And I was trying to prepare myself. I was like, is he going to contact me? I felt like he was. I actually felt like he was going to hit me up and be like, hey, like, what's up? Do you want to meet up? Do you want to catch up? La, la, la. But I had told myself, I said, I'm not going to contact him. I was like, I'm not going to contact him. And again, I wasn't drinking anymore. So I was like, I'm not drinking. There's no reason why I'm going to fucking go crazy and call him. I'm not going to contact him. Like, okay, we'll be in the same city. So what? Like, if he doesn't contact me, he doesn't contact me, and I'm not going to contact him. And I was so set on not contacting him and nervous that I might, that I made a bet with one of my guy friends. And I said, bro, if I contact him, what should the bet be? He's like, you owe me $500. I was like, bet. So we bet the 500, and I had went out there, and I was there probably for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, like 4 days. 4 days. I was there over the weekend, right? Like, weekend is like demon time, right? Like, everybody wants to go do stuff. So I had went out there during the weekend. Long story short, he didn't contact me at all, and I didn't contact him at all. And all I can really do in this point is like pat myself on the back. But I know for sure, like 100% without a doubt, that I loved. Like, there's know, like, in my heart, I know that I cared about this person so much, because when I went out there, that shit just hit different. Like, knowing that I was in the same city as someone, I was like, damn, like, he really didn't contact me. Like, he saw all my stories. He didn't even decide to reach out. He didn't even care to see how I was doing. And the selfish part of me is like, wow, bro, like, that's kind of fucked up. Like, you're not even, like, we made all these promises to each other. We had all these conversations. We had all these things that we were planning on doing. And now it's like, you don't even know the person. And it was hard. Like, it was definitely hard. But doing that and not contacting him and being able to move on to the next city, it's like, by the time I got to the next city, I was good. But being in that same city with someone is like, especially for the first time, it does bring back a lot of memories. It does make you think about a lot of things. It does make you wonder, are they going to hit me up? What about today? What about this hour? What about tomorrow? And the fact that they didn't is probably a good thing. Like, if he ever listens to this, like, thanks for not contacting me, because now my emotions are, like, they're intact, right? And I don't know what would have happened if he would have contacted me. I don't know if what would have happened if we would have saw each other. I don't even know if we would have been attracted to each other anymore. Like, even the conversations that we had, if it would have created an attraction, I don't know. I don't know how much he's changed or how much I've changed to him. But all I know is that that definitely made me feel as if I really did care about this person. And I can't put words in their mouth and be like, damn, it's like as if I don't exist now. Like, he really doesn't care. Did he ever care? Like, just going through my head and thinking about these things. But I, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, I can't control it. And for me, there'd be absolutely no reason for me to reach out. Like, what is the reason to know how he's doing? I do care about how he's doing. But I've asked him how he's doing before. I remember I reached out to him in, like, January because I was thinking about him. I was like, damn, I kind of, like, I hope he's doing good. Because we had talked, like, when we stopped talking, and he was probably going through some things. So I just want to make sure he was good. And he basically was good. And then I had said something like, oh, I'm happy to hear you're doing good. Maybe I asked him a question. I don't know. He never responded. So I'm like, the fuck, bruh? Like, I'm over here being here for you and you don't even respond to me. Like, that's crazy work. But it is what it is. Like, you can't expect things out of people. And I can't over here, I can't be like, oh, I expect him to keep the words that he said. I expect him to mean everything that he said, I feel like he meant. Why is he not keeping his word? Why is he not, like, la la la, like, we're not together. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. People will tell you things. People will make promises. And at the end of the day, they're going to break them. Like, not everyone. But when people do, like, you just really can't. You just kind of have to move on. Like, luckily, I got closure. So I'm grateful, because I know people don't. But I had written this reflection. Actually, it's funny, because I really was kind of in my feelings. I'm not going to lie. I was like, I labeled it love. I'm so cringy. Okay, so it was on May 13th at 10:18 p.m. in Scottsdale. Oh my God, this is so sad. I said, this is what I said, because it was my last day, I think, in Scottsdale. It was the 13th. So yeah, I was leaving the next day. I was going to leave the next morning. And I said, I know I loved, because I feel an emptiness and hurt in my heart. Damn, bro, that's so sad. I came to visit Arizona and heard nothing from someone who I once was so close to, someone who made promises to always be a friend and someone I can rely on. That was my first mistake. If there's anything I learned from my dad, it's that you can truly only rely on yourself. It's been 6 months and I really do feel like I'm past him. I felt like I was past him after 1 to 2 months, to be honest. But because I actually don't have other options and it's so hard to connect with people on that type of level, I miss the feeling of being wanted and it's a bit lonely. Because I really don't have motion, y'all. Like, I have no hoes, no roster, no guys that I'm talking to, like, literally nothing. And that was one of the intentions that I had set for myself this year. I was like, just no distractions, no boys, nothing. Just getting to know myself more, getting, like, growing my business, accomplishing my goals, like, supporting my family, things like that. So because I don't have other options, it's like, it's one of those things where when you reminisce on what you had, it makes it easy to miss it. And although I was single technically for like 4 years before I had met this guy, I still quote unquote had the option of like being able to contact my ex whenever I wanted, or like even my ex before that, and having those options. Like, I remember I had my first ever boyfriend, and then me and him broke up, but we would still stay in communication. And then I met my second boyfriend, and then I kind of moved past this guy. Then I was with my second boyfriend, and then we broke up, but we still stayed friends and talked on and off and on and off. And then I met this new guy, which is the one that I'm talking about, and then cut this, like, the other ex off, like, for real, like, anything like lovey-dovey wise cut off. And then I was with him, and then when I cut him off and like ended it, I've had like, you know, flings here and there, nothing serious. Like when I say a fling, I mean like a one or a two time thing, you know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? Anyways, so now I'm like, I'm not fucking with nobody. I'm not even entertaining conversations. Like, I'm not going on dates. I'm not, none of that. And because I literally have no motion, which I really love, like, to me, I really do love it. But then being in the same city and not even having another person to try to distract me from that, it's actually really hard. Like, that shit takes a lot of mental effort. So I said, regardless of his reasoning for not contacting me or continuing to act like I don't exist, I learned so much in that time. I learned I can fall deeply for someone. I can see a future that involves forever with the right person. I know what type of love and affection I like. I know what type of man I want and the characteristics I want him to embody. I still don't value a relationship or the idea of a partnership as much as other things in my life right now. I told myself at the beginning of this year, no boys, no roster, no dates. The world, or God, or whoever is pulling the strings, is literally giving me what I asked for. I'm playing a part in not feeding into the temptations as well. But now that I'm actually living by what I wrote out, it's kind of a sucky situation, yet it's also rewarding and peaceful. I'm proud of myself for having enough discipline to not make contact, even while being in the same city. I'm proud of myself for knowing that going backwards will only slow me down. Yes, it's good to have conversations and potentially gain closure, but I feel like I already received that. And even if I never did, the actions that occurred while we pursued a relationship said it all. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to reminisce. It's okay to wonder if things could have been different. But somehow, because I know in my heart of hearts where I'm going and that I'm meant for more, this won't be my person. I was supposed to have him come in my life to show me things I didn't know I could love and enjoy and appreciate. Now it's time for me to move on and continue along my journey of peace, growth, and self-love. And if things were meant to be, they would have been, you know, and that's okay at the end of the day. Going back from Florida, I had to stop in Arizona again. I was there for a couple of days once again, and it was different. It literally had only been a week and a half, but going back the second time, I didn't expect shit, like not a damn thing. Like, really didn't expect it. Like, you know, you say you don't expect it the first time, and then you're kind of like, but you're still hopeful. This time I wasn't hopeful. I had no expectations. I just was there. I hung out with one of my good guy friends. We went to the gym. We got food. Like, it was great. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And, you know, I can't really do anything about it. Control what you can control. I guess that's what he used to say. So I'm going to use it here. Control what you can control. But it's funny because although I have a boy, like no roster, right? I had the funniest shit happen on a fucking flight, guys, literally. So I got back to Sacramento from my long like road trip. And again, it was amazing. It was great. Love being by myself. Like it was just very peaceful. Had my dog. Great. Came back. I had this opportunity to go look at some deals in the Midwest. And before you say anything, they were in St. Louis, in Detroit. Okay, two of the like crime capitals of the fucking U.S. were where I was looking at deals. I don't fucking know, but the numbers were numbering. The numbers were looking good. So I said, fuck it, let me go view them, right? So I only went for a day. So I literally flew in to St. Louis on Friday afternoon, drove from St. Louis to Detroit, 7.5 hours, by the way, after I viewed the St. Louis deal. And then the next morning, Saturday morning, I went to go view the Detroit deal. And then I flew back to Sacramento that night because it was a quick trip. I really just needed to go see them. I needed to tour. I needed to run the numbers again. I needed to like send emails and things like that and get shit in place. But overall, like I really like them both. I think I'm going to pick up units of both. But on my way to Detroit, I had a layover in Minneapolis. So I flew out of, and that's another reason why I had to fucking drive to Detroit from St. Louis, because the flights were just all fucked. Like, I wasn't even going to get to Detroit at the time that I wanted. I'd have to stay another day, which I really didn't want to do. So I was like, okay, let me just drive. Like, fuck, I don't mind driving. It was only 7.5 hours. You guys, I was doing 13-hour days on the road. Like, this is a steal. Like, 7.5 hours, no problem. But you know what? I should have fucking checked my geography or, like, the map before I started, because I booked a place at night. Like, by the time I got to Detroit, it'd be evening time. So I booked an Airbnb for that evening. But I should have booked one of my own Airbnbs in Indianapolis, because that was the halfway mark. And I could have just slept for a little bit for free and then drove to Detroit in the morning. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So it was funny. But I was like, am I in Indianapolis right now? I'm fucking driving through. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, damn, I wish I would have mapped it better. Anyways, so on my way to Detroit, or sorry, St. Louis, I stop in Minneapolis, I get on the flight, and I'm probably like less than halfway to the back. So I'm like, I think I'm like row 16 or something. And there's probably like 40 rows. And I'm like, I get towards my row, right? And I put my purse down on my chair. And you know what's funny is I was going to have the fucking middle seat, bro. They were going to give me the middle seat, and I'm about to put down my bag in the middle seat. And the guy's like, oh, I'll sit in the middle, because his wife was at the window. So I was like, you want to sit in the middle? Perfect. Thank you so much. Like, yay. You know, I'm like super happy. So I get the aisle seat, which is important. So just keep that in mind. Okay. So I put my fucking bag down, and I have a carry on, but my carry on won't fit underneath the seats. So I have to put it in a bin. The flight attendant, a woman, she says, hey, the only bin space that we have is in the back. So I'm like, damn, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, when the plane stops, I have to go all the way to the back, get the thing. Then I got to wait, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I start walking to the back, and then there's this flight attendant, the guy. He starts pointing at the bin that, like, I'm supposed to put my bag in. And I'm, like, looking at him, like, oh, he's kind of cute. Like, in my head, you know, I'm like, oh, he's kind of cute. Like, nice little build. He's tall. Like, ooh, okay. Anyways, so I put my bin up there. But then I see there's this whole empty row, like, right next to where the thing is. And I'm like, am I able to sit here? Like, there's a whole empty row. He's like, no, I think our flight's full. Like, you're just going to have to sit where you were. I was like, oh, okay. So I don't even know why I mentioned that. That really wasn't important. But that was the little words that we exchanged. Okay, that's literally it. So I go and I sit down and at my seat, and I'm thinking, oh, damn, he is pretty cute. Like, I was just in my head, like, you know, but I'm not going to say anything. Like, it is what it is. Me, I get my rocks off to literally just seeing an attractive man. I'm like, that will do it for me. I'm not, no roster, no boys, no dates, but I can look, I can fantasize, I can think about things. That's fine. So anyway, so I'm like, oh, he's cute. So I'm like going about my fucking flight, right? I'm chilling. I think I'm reading or something. And then they start the service, like the cart service. And it's the guy. And he stops his cart. I shit you not. Stops his cart right in front of me. Right in front of me. I was the first person that he served. Hands me a water. I take the water. I open the water. I drink the water. And then I'm like, oh, I'm good. Like, he was going to offer me snacks. He's like, you don't want anything? I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. He's like, oh, okay. And that was it, right? And he had, like, he wasn't very friendly, to be honest. Like, he really didn't give me friendly vibes. He gave me more like, not mean, but more like, oh, okay. Like, you don't want it? Okay. Like, I'm like, okay. So he continues on, right? But bro, tell me why I was thinking about that. I was like, was that just a coincidence that he stopped at mine first? Like, was that a coincidence? I don't know. So I'm not going to overthink it, right? But I was thinking about it. So I'm going about my day. I'm reading, right? Whatever. I'm reading. My tray table's down, though, because I have my water. So I set my water down. I'm reading. He comes, like, passes me, drops off a cookie with a napkin and a cookie at my tray table. And I can see on the napkin there was, like, writing on the back. Like, he had, like, set it down. I could see that there was writing. I was like, bro! I was like, bro, no, he didn't. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, my gut was literally right. There was something about the way that, like, we had, like, eye contact at first. The way that he, like, I could feel him staring at me when I was walking back to my seat. I could just feel it. Like, bro, it was fucking crazy. My intuition was so on point with that, where I was like, no fucking way, bro. So then I'm like, I get off the plane, I look at the napkin, he says, you're pretty, text me. So I look, and I'm like, should I text him? I'm gonna text him, because he was cute. I was like, I'm gonna text him, whatever. But this is a crazy girl, and not crazy girl, but I was a little crazy because he had his name. First thing I think about when I meet somebody that I literally have no mutuals with, like, at all, I'm a big, like, buy referral type of person. I had one of my girlfriends, she had hit me up like a week ago, and she was like, ooh, I have a friend that I think you'll really like, la la la. So she, like, recommended him. So automatically he's a little bit more attractive to me because he was recommended, okay? Not saying I'm a fuck with him, but he was recommended. So that's already, like, a plus in my book. But this guy, I had no idea who he was. So what did I do? I searched up his number. Yes, I did. I searched it up on, like, what's the website? Like, True People Search or something. And I made sure the name matched up because he put his name there. I was like, is this his name? This is his name. Okay, cool. And I could see he was from, like, this specific city and state. So I was like, let's see if it matches up. So I tried to find him on fucking Instagram first. I was like, let me get a better look at him. I couldn't find him, though. So anyways, I text him. I'm like, you are a bold man. And then, bro, tell me why. Like, this shit gets me so giddy. It's so funny. But it's probably never going to be anything. Anyways, and watch, literally, what if we get married? And I'm like, looking back at this podcast, like, oh, no, I'm just kidding. We're not going to get married. Okay. But he literally, it was so fucking funny because he said, we were talking about where we were from, la, la, la. Okay. He said, I was supposed to start service further than you, but I had to stop and get some eye contact in and look some more. I was like, and I told him, I was like, tell me why. I literally had that feeling that when you stopped right in front of me, I was like, is this a coincidence? And then he's like, let me break this down for you. He said, first of all, I'm a Southern gentleman. I would have picked up your bags because I had to, like, literally pick up my bag and put it in the bin in the back. He's like, but I had just told people that I don't pick up bags for them, and I didn't want to look like a liar. Secondly, I kind of froze. I saw the headphones and didn't know if you could even hear me. Like, he was talking about how he was trying to, like, he almost didn't set the cookie down because he was going to say something about it. But I was like, no, it's okay, because I literally saw the writing on the napkin, so I knew what type of time you were on. And this man literally wants to come out. He literally wants to fly. Because, again, he's a flight attendant. So he's like, oh, I want to come see you for the day. I'm going to come to SAC, la, la, la. I'm like, bruh, like, this is kind of crazy. Is that kind of like a red flag or is that a green flag? Like, let's figure it out here. Is that a green flag? That's a green flag? Okay. You guys tell me. But it was so hilarious, too, because I tell my mom everything. So I was like, Mom, tell me why this shit just happened today. And I had one of the things I had said to him, I was like, bro, you're crazy. Or no, I said, you're a bold man. He said, how so? And I was like, how often do you give pretty girls your number on planes? He's like, I've only done it twice. And the jealous, untrustworthy person in me is like, oh, really? You've only been on two flights? That's literally what I wanted to say. I wanted to be like, oh, you must have only been a flight attendant for a month now. Like, type of shit like that. And I was telling my mom about, like, the whole situation. I didn't say that. But I was telling my mom about the situation. She's like, oh, he must have only been a flight attendant for like a month or something. I was like, ah, Mom, you're hella funny. Because I was literally thinking the same thing. But I didn't want to come off like a fucking jealous bitch. Like that soon. Like, damn. But I believe him. He gives me no reason to lie. I guess I'll just believe it until they show otherwise. So, yeah. And it's crazy because I literally just... And I've always been very trusting of the guys that I've been with. Like, my first two real boyfriends... trusted, like, I didn't even question their loyalty for a second, and I never had any real reason to. And lately, like, with that most recent guy, the Arizona dude, my trust was lost, and it wasn't even that big of a deal. Like, there was something that had happened at the very beginning before we even were really talking heavily. He had, like, lied about something, and I was like, and I tried to let it go because it was kind of fresh, and it wasn't as big of a deal as if we were really, like, heavily into it. But I could never really get past it. Like, that's one thing about me. And I've also seen that a lot lately too. And they talk about this like, just in science and whatnot, or I guess they were talking about it on a podcast. But I believe it was a podcast with a divorce attorney, or it was some type of psychologist. But basically they talk about, okay, if, and this is an example, if you are going to cheat on your partner, right? And you go and you cheat. And you either do one of two things. You decide you're going to take it to the grave. You're never going to tell them. Or you're going to be upfront. You're going to tell them you made a mistake. And you're going to try to move past it and work together to, you know, create a better relationship. Number one, if you decide to take it to the grave, doesn't matter. Somehow, some way, someday, they are going to find out. Whether you're still together or not, they will never trust you again. Like, they will maybe, a lot of people you'll notice, of course, people in relationships will cheat and the person will stay with them. But there is something in them, like they're in their mind, in their body, whatever. They will ultimately, if they find out a way that they shouldn't have found out, like from someone else or from the person that you cheated on them with or whatever, they will eventually like find out. And because you didn't come up to them and tell them right away, and your hand wasn't forced to tell them, or, you know, or maybe you did have to tell them eventually, but it was because your hand was forced, whatever, they will not trust you. Like, there's something where they just will never trust you again to its like full capacity. But if you were to come up to them and you were to tell them straight up, like, this is what I'm doing, like, this is what I did, I made a huge mistake, I'm so sorry, I want to work on this with you, la la la, like, you're the only person I want, la la la, although the trust will be lost, because you came to them on your own terms and like you did it right away, the chances of them actually sticking with you, moving past it, working together are so much higher. And I think that, and I keep seeing thing after thing after thing about this, and I can't agree more. If you hide things from someone, doesn't matter if it's your partner, your parents, your friends, and it's something that, you know, has to do with them, and you are forced to tell them later, or someone else tells them on your behalf, or they find out in some way, you will ultimately lose their trust. And I've been so big on like honesty and openness, to the point where I'm like, if I ever was to be with someone, I just need someone like that's 100% honest. Like, honesty, and no matter how hard it is, and accountability and loyalty, those things are literally non-negotiable. And the reason why I'm so stern on them now is because I wasn't before. I wasn't for myself. I was like, oh, I can tell this little lie. Oh, this isn't cheating. Oh, like, I don't think we're even going to be together, so what's the point? Like, shit like that, like, just so unintentional. So I know that if I ever was to be intentional about a relationship, if I ever was to take these things serious, if I ever was ready to really be in a relationship, those are the things that I would value highly, which I think everyone should, but I think not enough people do. They all say they do. Everyone says they're loyal. Everyone says they care about loyalty. Everyone says they don't cheat. They don't lie. They don't steal. They don't do any of those things until they're put in a position where they're tempted to, right? So it's like, how much do you actually value those things? How much do you actually embody those characteristics? And although, like I said, I'm not looking for anything and I'm not serious about anyone or like talking to anyone, I just know that I need to be ready, like, if that time ever does come, that I know what I want and I know what I'm willing to stand for and what I'm not willing to. Because if someone was ever to do something where they break my trust, it's an automatic X. Like, you're done. Because even if I wanted to work past it with you, which I probably will want to, because I know I'm not going to be able to trust you, it's pointless at that point. I'm like, bro, let me just end it now. Like, that's what I should have done when I saw this red flag with that person, is I should have just X'd it out. Because even though it was fresh, the things that they had told me and the actions that had occurred that made me lose their trust said differently, said otherwise. But that was a mistake that I made that I had to learn from. And that's why it hurts so much more later on, opposed to just ripping off the Band-Aid early and having that discipline. But now I know better. And that's one of the things that I can be thankful for and why they came into my life, because it taught me that. It taught me a bunch of other things too, but that was one of the important things. So that's my rant on that. So if we're talking about takeaways for this month, I was literally right before we even hopped in the podcast, probably like a couple hours before, I was writing down, because it's like the beginning of the month, I was writing down like my goal, like what goals I had for last month, what goals I have for this month, and like what I'm working towards. And a lot was accomplished in May, believe it or not. Like, I put an offer in on a property that I'm trying to purchase in Vegas for Airbnb, and it got approved. And then I obviously went and I looked at some deals. Like, there are goals. And before May even hit, I was like, damn, we're already like 4 months in, 5 months in to the year. What the fuck is going on? And that's another reason why I was like, I can't keep playing about what I'm doing and who I am and what I'm working towards. Because we get into this routine and then we start to slack off into the routine. And then eventually the routine doesn't happen. And I just like look back at May and I'm like, I traveled for majority of the month, but yet somehow I stuck to my schedule. And I think that's one of the most important things that I've found for myself, is that no matter where you are, having a few things that keep you grounded is going to continue to propel you forward even on your worst days. So although I was traveling, that doesn't mean I didn't have bad days, right? Like I had good days and I had days that weren't so great, but I stuck to my schedule even when I was traveling, like choosing easy things, like whether that be to work out like 4 times a week or read every other day, like things that are easy but yet easy to do but easy not to do. And knowing that you stick to that schedule and you follow that regimen, that's definitely going to kind of keep you grounded. And I think everyone should have something like that. Like no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, no matter what you're doing, you have certain things to keep you in line. And I think that was what I would take away from May, is just I was able to travel for 3 weeks and still stick to my schedule, and that kept me balanced and it kept me in line and it kept me going forward to accomplish my goals. And now going into June, it's just a matter of like closing these deals, continuing along this journey, sticking to my disciplines, because again, I started all these things. I had a schedule all like forever, right? Like things that I would stick to. But April, I really made a change to stop entertaining conversations with men, stop drinking as much, stop pushing things off. And doing that, it's like all of May was just like a compound effect. I can't wait to see what June holds, honestly. So going into June, it's just a matter of like finalizing these deals, really getting that shit done, and just watching all the blessings come into fruition. So that's what I would say. Have a great June. You guys tell me how your June's about to be. Everyone drop a comment. Give me at least one thing. It doesn't even have to be a goal. It could literally be like, what do you stick to? Like non-negotiable, no matter what, like no matter what week it is, doesn't matter if you're traveling or not, doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter how you feel. What do you make it a absolute like requirement to stick to in your schedule, in your daily life or in your weekly life? Drop that below and I'll see you guys on the next one. Calm down before you stress up the groove. The energy a little different when the blessings accrue. Hey, who you talking to? Just know I ain't no regular fool. Could be anything in the world, but I can never be you. Because I head tall like I'm on my tiptoes, baby.